Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to another Norm at Night. We're back coming to you live this summer from Bowie, Maryland. And it's nice to talk American politics, if that there is no question. I'm getting very, very excited about the presidential race as it heats up. Too many Republicans to name. The Democratic field is increasing. I believe there's starting to be some standouts. I don't know how many of you have been following the Facebook page at Norm Constantine. And on my Facebook page, you can see that there's been a tremendous conversation revolving around my support. Revolving around my support of Bernie Sanders and a lot of other things that I think we've finally come to be discussing the class war. Well, any of you out there, I've challenged a lot of people who've been coming to my Facebook page to call into the show. I really would love to hear you live. Remember, the number is 347-945-6713. I'm really having a lot of fun tonight. I hope that people are out there listening to me. I have called in on the direct connection from Blog Talk Radio. I haven't done this before, but I'm really kind of excited by that. So, where should we start? Well, one thing, you all know, no question, I am a Bernie Sanders fan. I'm done with Hillary. I'm done. She's old school. She's way too much in control. Everything's got to be perfect for her. Something's happened to her over the last 4 years. Something happened to Bill Clinton, too. You're trying to pick a candidate. What are the big issues for you? Well, for me, it's which side of the class war are you on? And that's why I picked Bernie Sanders, because somebody finally has said that we cannot continue like this, that the split between rich and poor just cannot go on. Now, I always thought of myself as being poor. There's no question about that. However, if I total up my net worth, it comes to a figure I'm not going to mention, but it was a whole lot more than I thought it would be. And that distresses me. Hey, 374. Wow, the guest numbers are low tonight, but welcome to Norm at Night. I'm hoping that you can hear me. If you can, please let me know, because I tried the direct connection tonight, and I've never done this before, and so I'm wondering how it sounds. If you want to call in direct, the number is 347-945-6713. Guest 374, can you please just let me know in the chat room? Can you hear me? Am I coming across clear? I really would like to know that. I'm looking for my glasses because it's hard for me to see the screen. No doubt about that, folks. Oh, I don't know. I got a couple of friends. Tom out there would be nice to call the Norm at Night Show. 347-945-6713 until 8 o'clock is the direct call-in number. There's a couple of Carls out there that I'd really like to call. There's a couple of brothers that have been engaging with us on the Facebook page, and I'd sure like to hear from here. Actually, I got a little chuckle. I put a old picture from the neighborhood up today on Facebook, and it's got a lot of reaction. And one of the funny comments was somebody wanted to know who won the fight. And actually, the other fighter called. He says, "Well, didn't really get started till about 9:30, and we both fell asleep." And I guess they called it a draw. That's my. It was a lot of fun. I've written some fiction about the fight, which I'm sure is a lot of pure fiction, but the truth of fiction, separate from whether or not it's true, is something we can talk about on another night. Bernie Sanders thinks there's a class war going on. Do you agree? What do you think would happen if Bernie Sanders won and the government started, well, and the elected representatives doing something about this disparity? What would happen? Would the Republic last? I mean, that's a real issue. And I hope, and I really do believe that Bernie Sanders has a chance to win. But if he does, the winning is useless unless we send a lot of people to the Congress who are of the same political persuasion as Mr. Sanders, as Mr. Constantine here, and anybody else that thinks that every human being has the right to the three things we all have to have. We all got to have a place to sleep. We all have to have the opportunity to make more of us and have the wherewithal to support those more of us. But we got to have a place to sleep, the ability to create more of us, and the means to feed ourselves. Those are the three things that we build all this stuff about. And it's time that we attack somehow this inborn necessity to be greedy that we all suffer from. Now, we know there have been opportunities in the world where we tried to enforce or where we tried to correct the inequality of a society by force, and that's just ended in disaster. It ends in people like Stalin and Hitler and people of that ilk. And so, force isn't the way, I don't think, though very little change really takes place without the threat of forcibly doing it. People with tons of money don't just give it up. The legal way to transfer that wealth is through taxation, not to a family who rules or an oligarchy who rules, but to a government that rules by or through the will of the people. I think that Bernie Sanders is that guy. I think he really believes that we can do something about the situation as it exists. Whether you agree or don't agree with that, why don't you give us a call, 347-945-6713, and we can talk about it. I would much rather talk with somebody who disagrees with me. Otherwise, it's like being in an echo chamber. Although I do love talking to those people, too, because none of us have mirror image ideas. But anyway, everybody, we got him, you know, Tom, as I approach my 65th birthday, I become convinced that I might have Tom Friedman. I might have early onset Alzheimer's. No, actually, that's nothing to joke about. Hey, guest 374, where did you go? Give us a call, 347-945-6713. But anyway, Tom Friedman says that digital technology has flattened the world and made it a level playing field. That may or may not be true. I happen to believe that it is. But where the playing field has to be leveled is right here in the United States so that we can compete. Oh, I'm drinking a cup of coffee, even though it's 90 here in Washington today. Just the heat is already becoming oppressive. I know. We were just complaining not too long ago about how cold it was. Now we're complaining about how hot it is. Human beings are never, never happy. Let's see. I'm trying to get to my Facebook page. Actually, here's something from Warren Buffett. Tell me what you think about this. Buffett, quote, "The rich are always going to say that, you know, just give us the money and we'll go out and spend more, and then it will trickle down to the rest of you." But that's not worked for the last 10 years, and I hope the American public is catching on. That was Warren Buffett. One of the responses on my Facebook page was, there is no trickle-down economic theory, and there never was one. Well, we all know that's not true. My response to that, and now just because trickle-down has been exposed as a fraud, you say that trickle-down never existed, or something in that respect. And I do apologize because I have a couple of people of the same name who reply to my Facebook page. And that wasn't what it was at first. Person I know just had their hair cut. Yeah, this is kind of a homey show, and had 13 to 14 inches cut off. That's pretty amazing. That's a lot of hair. Congratulations out there, Cody. I hope you like the new hairstyle. If you happen to be listening, why don't you give us a call? 347-945-6713. Tell us why you got your hair cut. I got a caller coming in. All right, you're on with Norman Knight. Let's talk some trickle down.
Oh, you caught that, did you?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it has never existed.
You trickle down, guys, you're amazing. It finally gets exposed as a fraud, and then you try to say it never existed.
It never did exist. It's just part of your narrative.
Tell that to Milton Friedman. Tell that to the Iron Lady.
There's something called supply-side economics,
maybe,
but there's nothing called trickle-down economics.
Oh, do we split hairs?
Oh, I know, you hate technical...
How many trickle-downs can we put through the eye of a needle?
Look, it was part of a joke that Will Rogers told in the 1920s. That's the origin of trickle down, okay? Now, it has been used by the left wing and the Keynesians for many, many decades as a pejorative, as an insult, when they want to, whenever they're fighting against, you know, tax cuts and things of that sort. But it's part of your rhetoric. It's yours. It has nothing to do with the economy. It's an
All right. The world be known. You heard it here.
See, if you wanna make the mistake of believing your own propaganda, be my guest.
Supply side.
Yeah, supply side. What about it?
All it does is make the rich richer and the poor poorer.
Okay, explain supply-side economics to me, briefly.
The basic theory of supply-side economics is that the richest people in the society, or the owners of capital, if you will, if you want to use the formal term, if they are given more and more money, by reducing their taxation, that will cause an increase in production so that they can do something with their money. And that increase in production will increase the performance. Hold on one second. You're on the storm at night. Just give us a chance here. Back to supply side. Feel free to join in whenever you want, 410. People will take their money and they will invest it into the economy, and that will cause a rise in the tide which floats all boats. That's crap.
You're fairly close, but I mean, with the exception of your bias, of course.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. To be honest, go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah. Well, here's what you do. You're removing obstacles to capital so that investors now they don't have to worry about capital gains. They have a much more favorable tax rate. They invest in all kinds of new products. Now, those products come on the market. The consumer gets a much wider choice of goods. At the same time, there's an immediate effect. It doesn't trickle down. If I'm decided that I'm going to make all kinds of new products, new hairspray, new automobiles, new air conditioners, I have to hire people immediately to produce them.
Or
what? Or I wait.
I'm sorry, I'm butting in.
It's a huge stimulus that comes directly from the private sector. And it's done much more efficiently than if the government did it, because when the government invests money, they rarely get any of it back.
I don't care about the government investing money. What I care about is the fact that as this huge accumulation of capital appeared, it was moved offshore.
Why has that money moved offshore?
The Chinese economy boom because it's their workers who are making everything.
Well, yes, and why are they doing that? The same reason Japan rose to economic dominance. It was American money that went there to do that.
Japan.
Oh, really?
We completely destroyed.
I can give you a whole lot of numbers and facts and figures on that, just off the top of my head.
Wait. We completely destroyed the Japanese and the German infrastructures.
I'm not going back that far. I'm going back to the 70s and 80s.
And the rebuilding of their infrastructure is what caused their economic explosion. That's all we're talking about. And in fact, if this government wants to do something real and narrow the gap, the first thing, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, and I don't care, because I'm not crazy and I'm right, I think. The first thing the government should do is level the playing field in America. And the way
Level the playing field.
So, now, who are we going to tear down? Who are we going to destroy, flatten, so that the field is level?
All we have to do is provide Wi-Fi to every American. And
that's the solution. Wi-Fi is going to change everything?
Yes, it will.
It's like it's just a utility. It's no big deal. Look at Facebook.
Changed everything.
90% of the people on Facebook aren't even literate, and you're trying to say that this is going to help?
Did you hear that? People literacy hasn't trickled out to us yet.
Norm, what is going on with you, buddy? Norm. It's been a while.
Yeah, who is this, by the way?
This is Norm's former student from St. Mary's.
I think we spoke before. Sure.
He could not transfer to his side.
Yeah, he.
you tried.
There are some things I agree with Bernie Sanders on. Okay, and we know. You know, I admit that.
There's a class war going on?
No, I don't see a class war going on.
I think there's a race war going on.
Yeah, but stirring up crap.
That's
you know.
Fallacy. It's not a race war.
Oh, sorry, Norm.
I
live in
Baltimore.
It's definitely a race war.
It's not a race war. That's a fiction that has been created to keep the consciousness of the 90% shattered so that they don't come together and coalesce to change the situation.
Well, I'm waiting for the big marches on Washington, and I'm waiting for Hooverville in the parks, and, you know,
you
I'm waiting for
Hoover?
This warfare. Where
you
the hell is it?
Go on the Appalachian Trail and see Hooverville. You want to see Hooverville? Let's go into West Baltimore. You'll see Hooverville. 100,000 jobs in Baltimore City since 1954. And what do? They get us to kill each other inside the cities. Murder rates skyrocket, and then we have more military police.
So, okay.
Oh, wow.
That's Baltimore. I live in Sacramento, and we don't have that problem. I wonder why. We don't have any industry either.
What? Come on, let's have some fun tonight.
Yeah,
Baltimore
is suffering from many decades of domination by the Pelosis.
Oh, My.
I mean, they just raped that city with them and the mafia.
Mayor Pelosi. Well, first of all, his name was Pelosi.
Norm, I can't even remember. Norm, let me try to help you.
That was tonight's firebomb. I just threw that one.
Yeah, help me out, 410.
Let me help you here, Norm. So I get a kick out of folks who sort of try to blame Republicans for what's going on in Baltimore when they haven't been in power in 40 years in the city. I do find that funny and hilarious. And I do not think that more government spending is going to fix the problems.
Well, the first government spending we should stop is the absolute unconscionable amount of money we spend on what we call defense, because it ain't defense, baby.
No, it's not. We're maintaining the empire for the rest of the world.
Right? We are maintaining the empire.
Yeah, well, that's what it's for.
Yeah, don't worry. Your friend Obama has certainly cut defense spending.
Obama knows that.
If you think that's the case, he's as bad as the people who came before him. We
change
more
can
money
believe
on
it,
defense
change
than the rest
it.
Of the world combined.
Well, this is the thing now. Since we don't manufacture much of anything anymore, there are
Thanks
only so many things we have left. And
we
one,
do make planes. We do make tanks.
We do make more weapons and sell more weapons than anyone on the planet. Yes, that's correct. But
now
the
Russians are right up there too.
Not really. It's their economy is smaller than Canada. A lot of people
don't.
The only thing they got going is oil and gas. I mean, there isn't. They have what they have, you know, their nuclear stockpile and all that, but you really can't expect a whole lot from them anymore. Our position in the world is changing to where we will be the administrators and the police force.
I don't want to be.
And that's about
either.
It. That's all we've got left.
I don't want to be either.
Well, yes, I understand. I prefer that we be.
And just remember, you
have
talk
a lot
about
more self-sufficiency,
anymore?
Especially in food production. I really worry about that.
There's no doubt about it. We make enough food for the whole world.
We do not.
We most certainly do.
Have you? I mean, I do my own shopping and all that sort of thing. And most all of these products, you know, the produce, all the rest of it, it's all from another country. It's not grown here. I mean, start looking at these labels. I mean, I love Mexican ice cream. I think they do it better than we do. And so I tend to buy all that sort of thing. And I bought some yesterday, and it was a honeydew melon-flavored ice cream. I thought, oh, this got to be good.
God.
Yeah, except that it was made in Korea with a Mexican label on it. You know.
You know why? You know why?
I know why, of course. It's
Tell us
you
why.
Know, the way food is distributed now is. It's a maze. It's more complex than I think anyone knows.
Mexico's part of NAFTA. So Korea ships food to Mexico. They slap a Mexican label on it.
Oh, well, yeah, the way Toyota and Honda do with their cars, sure, yeah.
Well, Toyota and Honda, they actually make their Honda makes all of its cars now in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Well, we have a significant tariff on Japanese-made Toyotas. I don't know about any of the other manufacturers, but
so they came and
but
made
yeah,
them
that's
here.
How that's how they get around it, you know.
And they destroy our
have,
union.
We should have more Toyotas in this country. They're good cars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well
you know, General Motors made a good investment.
I think GM.
I
have hopefully
loved
GM
my
will
Jeep.
Rebound.
Yeah, well, I mean,
my American
in the 70s and 80s, who do you think was pushing the Japanese automobile industry? It was all American manufacturers.
Right.
Oh, let's relax now.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the money came from. And by doing so, they shrunk their own market.
We make tanks, the Japanese make cars.
Yeah. Well, we make some, we make too damn many tanks. Have you been reading about how many are in storage? Well, if you can call it storage,
no.
They just park, they park them out in the desert. They don't know what to do with them. I saw the photos. I was just amazed, you know. That and aircraft, just incredible things. This stuff just sits there.
And millions of dollars a piece. Meanwhile, four children in ten in the United States of America go to bed hungry.
I don't know how many
children
are going to bed hungry.
Four children in ten.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm trying to recall when I saw a starving American.
I've been around for
a few decades, and I haven't seen one yet. You know?
I haven't seen any.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder where they are.
I don't know.
Norm says there are millions of them, but they must be in a cave somewhere. Maybe in Baltimore.
I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Hey,
you
Norm, hold on. I was hoping
actually,
talk
the beginning
about...
of next week.
What was that?
About half the public school population, the only meals they get are breakfast and lunch at school. That all ends in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then their parents can feed them.
Yeah. But, you know, we have a similar program. Actually, it's more expanded in Oakland. And they did a study on it. And what they found was that the kids who hung around for the dinner after school, the only thing would happen is when they went home, they got a smaller dinner, and usually later in the evening.
Yes, yeah, sir.
I give
now.
Up.
I mean, they've been eating all day, for God's sake, you know.
Hopefully this time we'll be able to vote all you guys out. And once we can start to try to fix things.
Well,
because if we don't vote you out,
how many Bernie Sanders, and that won't happen.
Say that again.
Or Martin O'Malley, please, Martin O'Malley. He's another good one.
It's going to be Bernie. And if we get enough people in the Congress, things could change. Oh, why don't you? 410, that's not a Prince George's County number.
No, that's Baltimore.
The governor's cut $100 million from state aid to Prince George's County. We'd rather build prisons than schools.
Yeah, that's what we do.
You mean in Baltimore?
I mean California.
The prison that we
built? I mean in the state of Maryland. The Prince George's County schools are the worst in Maryland. Yet, it's one of the richest counties in Maryland.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Have you been to Prince George's County?
I live in Prince George's County.
Okay.
It's the richest minority.
Bowie's a lot different than Hyattsville.
I dispute that. buoy.
Okay, fair enough. I did live in College Park for 4 years.
I did too for many years when I was a student. College Park's a student town.
Yeah.
What happened was, for your capitalist entertainment that pushed all the people out of D.C., built that God-blessed monument of a baseball stadium, now the city's going to spend $150 million on a soccer monstrosity.
Yes,
they're already
the south side of D.C. has revitalized.
Stadiums never revitalize the area they're built in.
Verizon Center. Camden Yards.
Chinatown is still Chinatown.
Yeah, but before the Verizon Center, I don't think there was anything there.
We'll make all these jobs. You can be popcorn vendors.
Oh.
Well, there's plenty of jobs now at Verizon Center. What's your point?
There are not plenty of jobs. Those aren't jobs.
Well, they might sometime in the near future pay $15 an hour. That's $31,000 a year.
But
get you off welfare.
By the government doing it. Hopefully they're going to form unions and organize and shut those places down.
Unions, yeah. You know, I wonder when... I know you have this fantasy. It's almost like a fairy tale of the unions rising and the whole thing. But that's ancient history, Norm. That's never ever going to happen again.
Scott Walker.
It's never going to happen.
That's not true.
No, it's gone.
Eventually, things will be so bad that there'll be an uprising.
Did you read the thing that I posted? Did you read the thing I posted on my wall about what's going on in Seattle with the labor unions?
No.
This is really good. Okay. It seems that all these restaurants and whatever, the minimum wage is going to go up to $15 an hour, right?
In 3 years.
Now, yeah. Now, the unions had put a little clause in, and it is buried in the legislation, and it's an escape clause. It allows any company that has a union contract to be exempt from the minimum wage increase.
Yeah, so?
You get it, Norm? The union boss is screwing
the
workers,
when the union's organized,
siding with the bosses.
Quote, minimum wage.
So these people that have union contracts, the non-union workers, will not get the increased minimum wage.
No, the unions will negotiate a wage above the minimum wage.
No. These are for all your part-time people, your on-call people.
The fantasy of the minimum wage is to keep people from joining the unions.
You'll have to read this. I'll post it for you. But it's the most amazing story.
I don't think I read about it.
Unions have always been just, a hive of corruption. But, God, this is, just blatant, compromise with the corporation.
United Steelworkers didn't do good for me and mine.
Well, we've benefited from the union movement. There's no question that we did. We're
and
of the age where our parents and grandparents did that and got what they got.
So have wages.
Norm,
I'm not making that up.
Norm, I don't disagree that unions in the past, maybe 40, 50 years ago, had their place. I compare it to feminism. feminism 30, 40 years ago, you know, probably did some good things, and now it's overrun its course. And now things are getting a little bit ridiculous.
How is it different now?
How is it different?
It's completely different now. The unions have lost.
You're dealing with an entirely new society, okay? We are not, the family is not the center of all of our activity. There are no more strong family units. People are not attached to their neighborhoods. There's no family home anymore.
That's because it's all
it's
been
because
destroyed.
We left. That's why we left, to find better things in life. That's why you left. That's why I left. That's why half the people in East Buffalo
that's
left.
That's actually interesting. I left. My brother didn't. My sister didn't, although she's dead now, so.
But what are the, I feel like there's so much information and the internet and so many things where people can make a lot more choices, that unions have run their course. They're just now being corruption vehicles. That's all they do now.
Yeah.
Tell that to people who work at McDonald's. Tell that to people who work in restaurants. Tell that to people who pick grapes. Tell that to people who pick lettuce. And yeah, there's lots of those people still. Tell that to the people who mow our lawns, because that's the only kind of job you can get in America.
Well, thank you to the millions of illegals who now vote Democrat.
Yeah, most of
the wages even put it lower.
Most of the guys who do the gardening and lawns around here are self-employed. They have their own business.
What do you think? Half of minimum wage jobs are now illegal immigrants? I don't know what the number is, but, you know, are we really protecting the American worker by having all those? I know Democrats have to keep their base, but, you know, you can't just
they don't have, you know, with the decline of labor unions, of course, that was their voting base. So now it's switched. So they're counting on the Hispanic vote and these waves and waves of immigrants, and they will be the new voting base.
Right.
These
people, fair point.
And that's it. It's no different than capitalism. Capitalism has to continually grow, and to grow, it needs more and more consumers. So why are we allowing the millions to come in? Well, they all got to eat. They all got to buy clothes. They're going to want to drive cars, and they may even get jobs. Fancy that.
They wouldn't come if they didn't get jobs.
I don't know about that, but I think most of them come to get jobs, but some of them think they can get some government handouts, probably.
Yeah, well, they know they can live better here than wherever, Guatemala, Suriname, Nicaragua, Honduras. I mean, all of those.
Yeah.
Countries. Venezuela, good Christ. Who would want to live there?
El Salvador.
You know.
Hey.
My son-in-law's from El Salvador.
You know, I mean, it's a beautiful country, but God knows the politics. Argentina, same way. Ooh.
Norm, I think there's really a story out there now. It's about, you know, have you heard about the story about Marco Rubio? I know, Norm, you've heard about it. It's incredibly important. I mean, good guy. He has a $80,000 boat. I mean, whoa. He cannot be president with that, Norm.
Hey, you know what? You know what's scary about him? He didn't even know who family fled from in Cuba.
Yeah, I don't know much about Rubio other than
Castro. They fled Batista. He doesn't even know that. He's a phony. He's a fake.
Oh, well, then he's a perfect match for Hillary.
I don't, God, I'll vote for Rand Paul before I vote for Hillary.
Ah, that's the spirit, Norm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much, you know, Rand Paul's going to, he's made compromises. I don't know how many more he's going to have to go through.
No, he hasn't.
The hell he hasn't.
He's a good.
On this Trans-Pacific Partnership, he's all on board for that. And man, that loses my vote right there.
Yeah, I'm not a big Rand Paul fan, but I'll listen to him, I guess.
Wait, you know, say that again. I didn't quite catch that.
Well, I'm not a big Rand Paul fan. Go ahead.
Rand Paul is clearly a left libertarian.
Well, he's
Rand Paul?
A libertarian, but
oh no, Rand Paul is very much a social conservative. Trust me on that one. And as is his father is the same way. But they were willing to pass all this off to the states and let the states decide what issues, you know, whatever moral standards they want to uphold.
The problem is nobody in their little local jurisdictions is doing anything to change things. I believe the whole country should have free Wi-Fi.
I like that. Even if it wasn't free, I mean, I have what I have, and it works.
No, but I mean, you open your computer anywhere in the United States, it connects.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll run into the same problems you have with mobile phones, in that there are large blackout areas. Simply, the satellites don't cover those areas. There aren't enough people.
Well, not just the set. You build towers. Just like you couldn't.
Well, even building towers, it's not economically feasible. So
yes,
those
it
people
is.
Will just have to rely on cable.
Not really.
Then. Cable
it's
or dial-up, whatever.
Feasible. The same way it was economically feasible to build the interstate highway system. The same way it was economically feasible to build the railroad systems. Well, those days are over. Now we have to build the next system. And nobody likes
railroads.
Well,
we're on Internet 2 now, aren't we? However, when Netflix is gobbling up 37% of all the bandwidth... One company.
Well, on weekends, it's over 50.
Yeah, but, you know, so you were saying how this would profoundly change people's lives. They're only using it for entertainment.
Well, I think they would use it for other things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've taken online courses and... I found them satisfactory, except when I had, I wanted more detailed answers. You know, obviously you want to have an instructor there. If you have a professor in front of you, you can do some digging, you know.
He is in front
to the
of
limits of their
the
knowledge, but
he's just as much in front of you as when you're in the classroom. The transactional distance is exactly the same.
Well, here's the thing. Just in terms of the way we learn and the way we memorize things.
Well, by the way, folks, we're in the last 10 minutes, so
okay.
Just keep that in
mind.
You
know, I'm more likely to remember a human face and the human contact and everything that was... up for discussion at that time, then I am a 15.6-inch flat screen.
That's a fair point.
I don't think that's a fair point at all. because it misses the whole point of the communication.
No, it says the means of communication are as important as the communication itself.
Consciousness is
remember
created.
The message is the media.
So I don't necessarily think, you know, I think the electronic learning and
the
communication
media
definitely has place, but I don't think it's going to completely, in 20, 30 years, wipe out all human teachers. I don't think that will.
Oh,
I don't think that will happen.
No, we you know,
is.
We're not. We're
we
humans. We like contact with other humans. That's what we do.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, for me to go to McDonald's and just slide a card and some food appears in a box. That's not, I don't know. I mean, I don't eat McDonald's food, but I would think that's a rather, I don't know, the experience is not as good. I want to smell the food and see the people cooking and all that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I'm just astounded. I wish somebody else would call 347-945-6743.
Norm needs some help here. Need some help.
He's done with us.
He's done with us.
I need some intelligence. I need somebody who is big. I need a big picture guy.
Oh, God.
I consider myself a pretty big picture guy.
This is the best Norm at Night in a long time. Oh, God. What else did I want to talk about tonight?
I know what I want to say. Just one thing. Just, you know, brief.
What?
You know. When you post memes in the future, give them a little bit of research, you know, just a little bit, because, you know, that one you put out about Social Security and George Bush raiding $1.7 trillion from the Social Security Trust. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, don't post things like that anymore.
But
they're stupid. They're stupid.
They're
wrong. There's no fact at all.
Oh, my God.
You know, I explained it all to you in my last comment.
He funded the Iraqi war with that money. That's where those
the money
bonds
went.
Came from.
Oh, you didn't read it. You didn't read it. Where does where does all Social Security tax go?
Social Security is part of the general fund.
That's right. Once it's in the general fund, it's all mixed together in a big stew. And everybody puts
that's
their ladle
right.
in and says, mmm, this is good.
Except
he just took more than the other people did. But to say it came out of Social Security, I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely crazy.
No, it isn't.
Because all of that money that came from Social Security taxes was converted into these special treasury bonds, and then those were given
which
to
the
Social Security Trust Funds. So the Social Security Trust Funds got all the money, all they would have ever got, whether there was a war
no,
or not.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they
the
did. Are you saying that we...
Everybody's got their Social Security number. The problem
yeah.
is in the future.
I'm getting my checks.
The problem is not the future.
Yes,
if the government pays off all those bonds, there is no problem with Social Security.
That's
no,
correct.
Do you understand what's happening in Chicago and in some of these other cities? The problem is the future,
no,
not
tell
right
me
now.
What's
they
happening.
Can't pay their unfunded obligation. That it's the same thing with Social Security.
Social Security is not an unfunded obligation. It's a primary obligation of the United States government. If Social Security fails, the government fails.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's that simple.
But you got to remember, when Social Security started, Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew. He knew that he had a big war coming up, and he knew he wanted to, you know, have the money to pay for it. So, by design, Social Security was there to provide money to the general fund, which would follow down and pay for the war.
Oh my
so
God.
I don't know. How much money did Roosevelt rob from the
people? I've never heard this one before, that Frank Roosevelt paid for World War II with Social Security money.
He certainly did. He used if the money went to the general fund, which it did, he used that money first to keep England alive. And then in later years, they not only did they use all that up, then they had to sell their Liberty bonds. They had to borrow even more money. God.
And he should have been impeached and convicted for violations of the Neutrality Act.
Well, yeah, I guess you could make
they
a
had
case.
Done
I,
that,
I don't want to go there.
We'd
but,
be talking to the heirs of Hitler.
Well, I used to speak German. It's really
and
flaky
I thank God
now,
I don't.
But I was pretty fluent when I was living over there.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. The occupation army.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, you can say we were occupying. At the same time, though, having all that military in the country, that was a huge stimulus in itself. When I was there, there were 250,000 guys. Well, soldiers.
We still occupy Germany.
I don't think that's not valid. No.
Are there U.S. military bases there?
Yeah,
there
but
is.
They're all NATO.
What's
and they're
the
very, it's
NATO?
Nothing close to what
you're
like
saying.
To be there.
You know, the Russian bases in Poland were the Warsaw, but they're just Warsaw Pact.
Well, are there still Russian bases in Poland?
No, the Warsaw Pact was dissolved.
No, they're gone. Absolutely right, yeah.
So Russians couldn't afford it. You know, everybody says Reagan's the big hero. The hero was Gorbachev.
Well, I would say Gorbachev was...
The way to solve the Russians' problem is to go to war.
Well, let's put it this way. You can say the hero was Gorbachev, and other people are going to say the dupe was Gorbachev.
And the other thing is, not very many people realize how close the United States was to going under, just like the Russians did, from the arms race. Anyway...
The 80s were rough. I mean, the 80s were very difficult times. We had amazing inflation. I couldn't believe what was going on at that time.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm glad you both called. I hope you call back next week. Watch Facebook for topics growing up. And thank you, 410, for bringing up Marco Rubio.
Just for you, Norm, just for you.
I had to get my shot in, and I didn't want to look like I was ganging up on him.
Please don't.
Yeah, I
out.
Should learn more about him. I really haven't followed his career, you know. He's a good-looking guy, and he's going to do the whole Kennedy-type thing, I imagine.
You know what he strikes me as? Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. We got to go. They're in my ear. The show is done. Thanks for calling in. This is Norman Knight signing off from Bowie, Maryland. We'll see you next week. 347-945-6713 is the number. I'm out of here. Good night.
Take care, Booch. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.